This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm a rant that, to me, adds to it. And this is just something that I pick up when I watch him just sort of around Memphis in the post game. Like, he seems like the kind of guy that loves being in Memphis, that loves being in this market.
I hope so.
You know, because you know, he went to Murray State.
Well, he's a small town kid. Let's keep that in mind too. He's not a big city kid.
And that matters. Like, you know, who knows with a lot of other guys how they would have perceived or, you know, approached being in Memphis, right? And getting drafted to a place like Memphis where they're rebuilding. This kid has come in as a rookie, fully embraced it. Looks like he's having fun out there, right? Has a great relationship with Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, and I don't think that would have been the case, like, with every, like, RJ Barrett, for example. Like, if in a different universe he was the pick, you know, how would he have embraced it? I don't know. It's hard to say exactly, you know. So I think, you know, he seems to me like a guy who really loves being in Memphis, and I think that adds to it. I could see him being, you know, listen, in this NBA, you never want to say he's going to spend his whole career here, but certainly multiple contracts, right? Multiple contracts with John Morant here in Memphis, and, you know, I think that adds to it for me. I bought a jersey.
You did?
I did after the game. I bought a jersey.
Good for you.
Made it official.
When he was doing in Moutier that and putting the hand above like too small, could you? I mean, was that what he was doing?
Did no, I think he was like raising the floor.
Gesture?
I thought that was the raising.
I don't. I saw
maybe a midget thing.
I thought he put his hand down
small
right there.
Small person. We don't use that.
I tried to look for somebody to explain that. Moutier's not a mouse.
Yeah.
So I thought the confidence is. I don't know if that's the way it was taken. That's the way I took it. I don't know if he's explained it. I didn't see it. I looked for a tweet on it or anyone to explain it. But it looked like he was saying Moutier too small right there. And again, you're talking about a guy that's, you know, six. But just the.
I think that, like, when he puts
his hand down by his knee, like, yeah, like my defender, too little right there.
That's
the way
that's
I took
it.
That's what I'm saying. He's doing that to vets, bro. And that's what you don't see. He's throwing up, he's flexing. After and one. That's the stuff that stars do. And anyway, it's every little thing about him. It's not just the buckets and the way he gets them. It's his mannerisms after buckets. It's the screaming he does after games that just draws you in, man. The Grizzlies have got him one. This kid is a potential superstar who, my gosh, it just feels like you ever watch a kid, it feels like with each game that you watch, like he, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Can see the improvement. That's what feels like it's happening with Ja.
No question.
Like
I mean,
confidence that's coming with each game.
It's like we're gonna have to wait longer for the NCAA to announce James's suspension than we are to wait whether or not Ja Morant's going to be a star in the NBA. Like, we know.
It feels like we know.
You know, three weeks into the season, we know that Ja Morant is a star in the NBA. And I don't think that's going off the rails. I don't think that's crowning him too early. I mean, this kid shows you night after night, and there are going to be nights where he doesn't shoot the ball well. He probably has too many turnovers. That's life in the NBA as a rookie. But I think what Ja Morant has shown you already is that he's got the sizzle, he's got the flavor, he's got the ability. Like, he can score. He's a star in the NBA, and he's right here in Memphis.
Yeah, I think I was watching him after that game, and he's embracing Jay Crowder. And sort of they're almost rubbing foreheads to point them out. Look how close those two have gotten so quickly. But I just think the way that locker room set up, they do a great job of empowering him and telling him, man, you're go get it. You know what I'm saying? As many shots as Crowder takes, and some of them you're like, good God, you want to stop? It looks like they've told him, dude, you're the man. Go out and get. Like, they've truly believed in that kid, and you could tell it's added to his confidence level.
Yes, it has.
He is way ahead of where Trey was this time last year.
That is true.
Trey was still trying to figure it out.
Absolutely.
Ja got it figured out, and he's winning games already. This is fun to watch. Ja Morant
is the leader for Rookie of the Year right now.
There's no question about that.
If you got that at like 600 or 400
absolutely.
Or 1, whatever it was, like you're feeling really good about that because who's the – I mean, Zion's not playing anytime soon, right? So, like, and I mean, if Ja Morant's going to be averaging, you know, 18, 19, 20 a game – doing what he's doing, and the Grizzlies are, like, actually kind of sort of winning.
Which is weird.
You know, like,
three-game winning streak.
Ja Morant is going to win that award.
And you're about to face a Golden State team that ain't trying to win. It feels like you're about to pick up another win here in your next game. So
that'll be fun to see.
Ja Morant's averaging 18 and 6 right now. on 47% shooting and 42% from three. Like, that's rookie of the year type numbers. You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what that is. So, anyway, it's been special to watch his development. And the great thing is that he gives you he just gives you something to watch every single night, no matter what. Like, he just does, you know. And that's gravy. All right, we will come back. Colin Kaepernick had a workout. We'll discuss that and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I am the Lift Master.
Well, if you really want to be a hero, join DoorPro and LiftMaster to help the Lebanon Children's Hospital Radiothon. DoorPro is an authorized dealer of LiftMaster, and for every new garage door installed this month, DoorPro will donate $25 to the Lebanon Radiothon. Free in-home consultations. Just call 901-DOORPRO or visit DoorProInc.com. DoorPro
and LiftMaster.
Be a hero. Call 901-DOORPRO today.
As someone who's been through a divorce, I know how emotional the process can be, and I know some lawyers just want a more expensive fight. So let me tell you about Justin Thomas and the lawyers of Thomas White and Gill. It's not one of those big national firms. Justin is a former first baseman for the U of M who won't back down, but understands that slash-and-burn lawyering isn't always the best way to produce the result or the bill that anyone wants. Thomas White and Gill has male and female partners and a range of billing rates. It is experts in divorce, custody, adoption, and wills and estates. To contact Justin or to see what the firm has to offer, go to memphisfamilylaw.com.
Hey, it's John Martin here once again to remind you about my favorite spot in Memphis to grab a bite and a beer, or, hey, maybe both, the Blue Monkey. For 20 years, the Blue Monkey and their fantastic staff has worked hard every single day to make sure that you don't forget that every time you visit the Blue Monkey, it is a first-class, first-rate experience. They're fantastic. The menu is executed with quality products and quality prices, and they want to thank their loyal customers and their awesome staff. The Blue Monkey, better than ever. Thanks for letting us serve you, Memphis. It's been our pleasure. They got two locations, as always. 513 South Front Street, downtown, and 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. Visit BlueMonkeyMemphis.com for the menu. That's BlueMonkeyMemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Live music at the Blue Monkey in Midtown on Friday night, Devil Train. On Saturday, the cassette sets.
This is Gary Parrish, and I've been telling you about James Davis for years. One of the best clothing stores in the United States of America. It's where I get my suits for television work with CBS Sports. It's also where I get my custom-made stance shirts. And now, it's where I get my custom-made stance pants because, yes, James Davis now has custom-made stance pants. And here to tell us about them is Rob Joyner from James Davis.
Gary, we've been talking for months about Stant custom shirts. Three measurements, 150 try-ons for the perfect fit shirt. Now, Stant and James Davis have the perfect fit pant. Three measurements, 90 try-ons, and done. Custom fit. We can adjust waist, seat, pant, leg for the most comfortable and best fitting pant on the planet. You choose five pocket, jean style, dress pant. Many, many fabrics. It's amazing. You have to try a pair to believe it. Starting at $168 and a two-week delivery.
Trust me, you'll love these pants when you get these pants. We have one of the best clothing stores in the country right here in Memphis. You'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show. Presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Pirates cook it up like Kyrie, trade you off. Let's go. Green and white like Celtics, don't play with me, play with a foul. I'm superior, I'm imperial, I ain't feeling you. I can eat me.
Quintessential Suites are 2811 Bartlett Boulevard, sweetest place in Memphis, the place you need to get to for your delicious banana pudding ice cream cake that you're going to have for your Thanksgiving parties. You got to pre-order them by November 20th to get them picked up for Thanksgiving, for the 26th. Christopher Gray's got the most exquisite sweets in the city, including this fantastic banana pudding ice cream cake. Like I told you, you will never have tasted anything like it, just like Grandma's banana pudding, but now an ice cream cake for. It's a must for your holiday party.
Yes, it is. Also, got some more good news for you. Quintessential Suites is going to be giving away tickets to every Memphis basketball home game this season on Facebook. All you got to do to be eligible, like the Quintessential Suites Facebook page and reply to their giveaway post, and you are entered to win that easy.
Their gourmet sweets are the perfect touch for your holiday party, like we talked about, your birthday party. You got a fall one. So give them a call. Make that order. Again, get those fantastic ice cream, banana pudding ice cream cakes. Make that call, 361-3449. You got to order them before the 20th. So you got a couple more days to get in your orders. Again, 361-3449. Maybe you just want to head on over to 2811 Bartlett Boulevard. They're at quintessentialsuites.com.
All right, every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Tua. We lost Tua. Tua is out for the year. The Alabama quarterback was hurt in a blowout win over Mississippi State. Just before halftime, they were up 35-7. Tua was still in the game, according to Nick Saban, to practice a 2-minute drill. It was going to be, according to Nick Saban, his final drive of the game. He was brought down by two Bulldogs. He was rolling to his left, third down, and had a bloody nose. I mean, man, he got lit up. He got lit up on that play, and that was certainly not the worst of it. It's a hip injury. And he's, I believe he's already had surgery on, or he's having surgery on it today.
I think he just came through, sounds like.
Yeah, so just had surgery on his hip, dislocated hip, and also a posterior wall fracture. That sounds really freaking painful. I don't know, what is a wall fracture? That sounds terrible.
The Alabama statement says Tua underwent successful surgery on his right hip Monday morning in Houston. Procedure went as planned, and he is resting comfortably. His prognosis is excellent. We expect him to make a full recovery. He will return to Tuscaloosa in the next several days to begin his rehab. We were talking earlier about how much money they spent on Tua and his recovery to get him ready for LSU. And now you're talking about this is his fourth surgery, by the way.
I was at the game, and the attention to him is remarkable at a football game.
Who was the woman that, just curious, did y'all see the woman that
from
was
ESPN?
With him on? No. It's weird, and I have these random observations, but the woman that was on the cart taking him out, she was almost emotional too, almost like patting him, like to calm. You know what I'm saying? I just wondered if she was looked like a mother, almost in the sense it wasn't just a typical, you know, you see a grad assistant trying to hold his leg or something, or some doctor this was a mom that was almost trying to console him and keep him. Anyway, I just wondered who that was. Sad news, clearly, because you wonder how this is going to. Forget Alabama this year. Set that to the side. What about Tua's career?
Yeah.
And if you heard Mike Tannenbaum this morning, he's already talking about it. I'm sure this is the talk of GMs everywhere, too. Hell, we figured some teams were tanking for Tua. Mike Tannenbaum this morning on Get Up said, as a result of this kid's fourth surgery now, that if you're going to take a chance on Tua, you do it at the bottom of the first round at the earliest. We're talking about a guy that we thought, you know, at one point team's going to lose to get. Right, be at the least the first quarterback taken off the board. Now we're talking about possibly seeing him taken at the end of the first round. I think, John, you were telling me off air, you've seen some speculation, maybe it's not even in the first round. I mean, wow. And I know they've shown the videos of him in the hospital bed, right, and he's trying to keep his spirits up. But my gosh, what a costly decision to keep him in, because you're not just affecting your chances, right, to get back in this thing. Can you still make the college football playoff? We'll see. But it's his career. That's also on the line. So, look, he'll get his opportunity in the NFL. You just wonder, now is it going to be with a completely different, you know, squad? Teams are, again, going to tank for him. Now is he going to be with some team that's going to take a, you know, got the 21st, 22nd pick in the draft, doesn't necessarily need to run a quarterback out there.
Yep.
Maybe has some more time to hold him for a year, then you put him out there, like a Chargers.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe it's one of them, somebody like that.
No doubt.
We'll see. But this is going to have major effect on his career going forward.
Well, yeah, and obviously now the majority of the discussion centers around Nick Saban's decision to have him in the game. I mean, that is sort of what the talking point of it is, you know, regardless of sort of where he goes in this draft. But I guess the two things are related. You know, Nick Saban's defense was that, you know, he wanted to have him practice for a 2-minute drill. But there are people who are, you know, who are really upset by this, who are really upset by the fact that he's in this blowout. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Derek Carr. Derek Carr, you guys will remember. I know you certainly will remember, Jason, because he was having an MVP caliber year.
I liked I liked him that season.
He was awesome. I mean, he was a fantastic quarterback, one of the best in the league that year, probably the top five quarterback in the league that year. And they're blowing out the Colts. In Oakland, it's just before the playoffs start, maybe 2 weeks before the playoffs start. And, I mean, they're rolling him out. And it was a play-action pass, I want to say. and he gets rolled up on, and he breaks his ankle, and it ends any chance we have of doing anything in the playoffs. And I'm just wondering, like, I'm pretty sure it was Christmas Eve. Why is he still in the game? Why is he still in the game in a blowout, you know, when he's the freaking franchise quarterback and he's our only shot at winning a Super Bowl? Now, in this case, who knows if Alabama was going to even make the playoff, right? Like, they still had a lot of help that they would have needed. So, but the point remains, like, you want to be in a position where if you do get the help that you need, that you got your best quarterback and not Mac Jones out there. So, I don't know. I mean, he's won titles, you know.
I feel like some of us are like on this whole, well, we want to buy Saban's, right, because we typically just buy Saban's excuses and we say, okay, well, we get it. Okay, we'll back off. But he absolutely deserves criticism here. Am I missing something? Did he just not just come back from an ankle injury, right, to get him? We talked about how much LSU was spending. They got all the hospitals basically in his dorm room to get him ready for the LSU game off the ankle injury. And are you not still going to be careful? I know he's played since then, but are you not still being super careful so that you've got him for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Like, what about – it's almost like you've just – completely said, okay, he's 100% recovered from that.
Yep.
And some people even thought, John, that he still looks like he was laboring, still looking like in that Mississippi State game beforehand, that he wasn't getting around the same. And so whether that was a result of a hit he took in that game or that he's not fully recovered from the ankle injury, either way, if you're Nick Saban, aren't you protecting your prized possession that, again, you just had the damn hospital room in his dorm room?
Yep.
Like, all of a sudden now, it's caution to the wind, and he's out there the full-time in a 35-7 game? Give me a break. I mean, your chances are better preserved for the rest of the season if you've got him. If he's not getting knocked around, you've pulled him already. Again, you're only a couple of weeks removed from him getting back from the ankle injury. So I don't understand all of a sudden, he's good to go. He's as tough as they come. I mean, he was out there hitting, you know, yes, it was 35-7. He's out there getting hit, okay? And so I would have pulled him earlier. This idea that it was just for a two-minute warning, give me a break, that's not more important than having Tua the rest of the season. That game was over, and he should have already been out of the game, period.
Yep.
We don't question Nick enough. I think sometimes we just take his word and his decisions as the gospel. But just the idea, he's still out there for a two-minute drill in a game that was already over. Give me a break. Guy had just gotten back from the ankle injury.
That's true. It's 35-7.
You parted the Red Sea to get him ready for LSU. Give me a break. And now all of a sudden you're laying him out there in a 35-7 game. It's ridiculous. Shouldn't have been out there. Plus, he's got a career to think about as well after Alabama.
Yep. So
period.
It was not a great weekend for Nick Saban. There's no question about that as it relates to Tua. But successful surgery, and now we will all sort of turn our attention to where it goes in the draft.
Next story.
All right, this looked weird last week, and there's a lot of layers to it, so you'll have to bear with us. But this Kaepernick thing got even more confusing, John, once they got to it. Because on Saturday, at one point, it looked like he's going to work out right in Atlanta at the Falcons facility, and then you find out, if you're following on Twitter, this was amazing, you find out that Kaepernick's changed the location himself.
Yep.
Some of us said last week this already felt like a weird deal by the NFL. This didn't come from any NFL team saying, hey, we want to see him work out. This idea that you're going to work out of Kaepernick came out of the commissioner's office, out of his office. And apparently with some help from Roc Nation, Jay-Z.
Yep.
Remember a few weeks ago when they made that deal? We said, well, where's Kaepernick on this deal? This sounded like Roc Nation and Goodell's way of saying, you know what, we didn't have Kaepernick involved all those weeks ago, let's get him an opportunity. Because, again, this didn't come from some team saying, hey, we want to see him in a workout. This came out of the commissioner's office. So there were already questions last week. Why won't you give him the names of the teams coming? We saw the reports coming out, but, again, those were news reports from the teams. The NFL wasn't going to give him that. They put it on a Saturday. There were already questions. So you go into this thing, right? Apparently 25 teams, all represented, going to be there.
Yep.
And, John, essentially an hour before – this thing is set to go off, Kaepernick changes the location. And only out of those 25 teams that were going to be there, 8 representatives go there. 60 miles away, an hour away from this Falcons facility. So completely off. He goes and has the workout there. The arm looks good from everything we can see, at least on the videos.
Yep.
But he was unwilling, John, to sign this waiver the NFL had given him to sign. And apparently there was some going back and forth on who's going to control the footage from this thing. The NFL said, we'll disperse it out to the teams. We'll edit it ourselves. Kaepernick and them, they wanted basically the footage to do with what they wanted with. So, with all the questions going around, Kaepernick basically pulled his own change of plans. He, throws them, much like he, they had done him, I guess, starts throwing, hey, come over and see this, only 8 go, and you have this, whose side are you on, Kaepernick? The opportunity was afforded to him. How come he didn't take How come he didn't take it, right? There's that side of it. There's this other side. Well, look, they were already you know, basically blackballing him anyway in the sense they weren't going to tell him anything about this workout. Colin just gave them another curveball, and so it just goes on. What I hate is that this thing just continues. You thought maybe last week it was going to get to a point where we could all just make a determination of whether the dude still had it or not.
Right.
But what we've got now is still people picking sides. We've got two sides that can't come together on whether this is a real opportunity or not. Johnny looked pretty good throwing the football, but that, as a result of this story, and again, people having to pick sides, has sort of been put on the back burner. What no one is talking about is how is what he looked like on the football field, again, because of all the mess that's surrounding the story. I don't even know where you even start to
right.
peel back the first layer
yeah.
in terms of which side you come down on. What we just know is nobody's talking about his football talent today. They're only talking about whether or not Colin got done wrong or whether he wasted an opportunity that he had in front of him. and hey, maybe you're more content, right, to just be a story outside the NFL than you are actually to be a backup quarterback. You know, people are more into picking sides than they are actually looking at whether or not this dude can still play.
Well, and we'll talk to Jason Fitz about this, but, I mean, you have your people who are on the side of, like, Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith says he doesn't want to play. And then there are other people who say, you know, well, the NFL didn't put him in a situation where he could have succeeded. The NFL didn't put him in a setting. There was a report that they weren't going to allow media, they weren't going to allow cameras. And I understand, too, like, believe me, I understand Colin Kaepernick's position on that because how easy would it have been? I can see it. I know you can see it. Where if, you know, he goes to this NFL-controlled workout and there's no cameras allowed, that the reports after it are Colin Kaepernick looks like he hasn't
wasn't
been playing.
That good.
Yeah, like he hasn't been working out, like he hasn't been.
Right.
Like you can see that 100 times out of 100. Colin Kaepernick wanted everybody to see it. He wanted everybody to be there. He wanted it to be transparent. And so I commend him on that, and I understand why he did what he did. You know, I have from the beginning felt like this was a very thinly veiled attempt by the NFL to sort of make good, right? To try to make good with Colin Kaepernick and you know, offer a tiny, tiny, like you can't even grab onto it, olive branch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you looked, I think, deeper into the situation, you know, what did you really think was ever going to come out of this? You know, Colin Kaepernick was – the NFL did not do this so that Colin Kaepernick could sign on with a team. Like, that, like really and truly, it was really just a PR move for me. Like, everybody's saying it was a PR move for Colin Kaepernick? No, I think it was a PR move for the NFL. I think it was a PR move for the NFL, who feels like its reputation has been sullied as a part of this, and they're trying to sort of show, hey, wait a minute. We want Colin Kaepernick in our league. We're going to have a workout for him. We organized a workout for him. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, you can blame it on him and say, hey, we tried, but he moved it. You know, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, technically you did offer it, but you offered it on your conditions. And who else would you have done that for? You know, like, he didn't know who he was throwing to. You wouldn't do it on a different day. It had to be a Saturday where you knew no GMs were going to be there. Like, so the whole thing.
I don't understand why you can't just tell him who he's throwing to.
It was a sham.
But
the whole thing was a sham.
You know, that part, too, I don't understand. You know, again, it felt like a setup when an hour away. And look, they're, you know, Stephen A. Smith, who you watch this, and when you're in his position, right, you criticize Cap, you also put yourself up for some criticism. You've got Eric Reed and a bunch of folks killing Stephen A. Smith right now for his views on this Kaepernick situation. There's a part of this where, look, Kunta Kinte didn't get a settlement.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I'm glad you brought that up. It should be brought up.
All right. Kaepernick, we don't even – Kaepernick took a settlement. Remember this. Kaepernick took a settlement from the NFL. He got blackballed. I firmly believe that. And in the NFL, and it's in knowing that, gave this man a settlement, right? So there's a part of this – here's me on this. There's a part of this is how much do you want to be a quarterback in the NFL? What's more lucrative for you
right
now? Being a story outside of it, the one that can't get in the NFL that's getting blackballed,
yep.
right? You got a settlement. He got a settlement out of that he took. He took that settlement, right? Or being a backup quarterback in the NFL, right? Where half the time you're not even a story because you're not playing because the starter's playing, okay? So you're not even a story. And maybe it does, but whether he's kneeling or not, that becomes a – but there's a part of me that, again, Kunta Kinte, brother, that Kunta Kinte didn't get a settlement, bro. Yeah, he got his foot cut off. You understand what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
that. So I've made the point. Kaepernick's made, I think, some mistakes. Again, I'm one of the ones that was with him that said he was getting blackballed, and I love the attention he's brought to. Look, the racial inequality, social injustices, all of it. I love that being brought. But he's also made some mistakes in this too. We talked about the socks where basically you yep. put out that all cops are pigs. I think that was he's made some strategic mistakes too.
Yep.
Nobody's perfect. We all fall short. I say that too. I love the cause. Every way he went about it, am I firmly behind? No. But there's also a part of me, John, that you go out there in front of Kunta Kinte like you're a slave to it. You took a settlement from him, right? You took a settlement. You believe you can throw that ball. You believe that you should be in the league. There's a part of me, John, take whatever the hell. Show them. Go show them. On their terms, show them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now I
can see that.
What I'm not is a lawyer. So I can't read everything in that liability statement, right, that the NFL wanted him to sign. I can believe what I am is capable of believing both of looking at both sides of this and believing there was some language in there that really was questionable when it comes to the NFL side of this. But at some point, man, I just wonder, is Kaepernick more satisfied, right, with being that story outside of it and this? And is that – look, that may be the best thing for all of us.
Right.
Maybe it continues to draw attention to these issues. But now, John, are we talking about racial inequality and social injustice? Are we talking about Kaepernick in this chance? Again, you know, we've lost some of what's on the platform there.
Well, I do think it was a strategic mistake to wear that shirt. It was a strategic mistake, and I understand, like, it's your cause, and, like, I, you know, but if you're, it hurts your credibility in a way, because you're saying that you
Kunta didn't get paid,
right? Exactly.
That's my whole thing. I mean, you go look up Kunta Kinte. You see him, you know, in that character from Roots, and that there was nothing about. You understand what I'm saying? There was no chance offered. This dude's it was about escaping. You understand? Slavery, right. And so. Again, I just think it's a dangerous comparison, yeah, to compare your situation,
yes,
to Kunta Kinte,
right?
Which, I mean, is as real as it gets.
Yeah.
And so that part of it, to me, again, I love what he's trying to stand for. I give him you want to go be an NFL quarterback again? I want you to get the opportunity. But some of the ways he's going about, you know, some of these steps, man, I just wonder about, because again. Colin Kaepernick ain't Kunta Kinte. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And yeah, that story's much different.
Like, and he may never be back in the NFL. I mean, I think that's what we learned. Like, this, if this was sort of the last gasp, I think that book is probably closed for good now. Anyway, we will talk to Jason Fitz about this and more when we come back. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
It's the holidays, people, and our guys at All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch told me to say a big thank you to everyone driving All-Star Chevys and to each of you wanting to buy a new Chevy to come to All-Star Chevy today. Test drive the Silverado, Traverse, the new Camaro. It's ABC simple. A, the All-Star Chevy Challenge to bring any written offer from any Mid-South Chevy dealer to All-Star so they can give you a better deal or buy you a tank of gas. B, better buying experience that's fast and fun for you. And C, customer care to take care of everything you need so all your future cars and trucks to be in the All-Star family. Because over 75% of All-Star customers are repeat buyers, and no other Mid-South Chevy dealer can say that. So find new roads to All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Not South Haven, not the Pike, not Collierville. It's gotta be Olive Branch. So go to allstarautogroup.com and find the Chevy you want. If you don't see it there, they can get it for you fast. AllStarAutoGroup.com.
Remember the first time you gathered the courage to ride the beast, climbing the stairs as it roared by, filled with anticipation, and one last chance to turn back? In life, obstacles can stop you in your tracks. But with a bank like First Horizon behind you with a deeper understanding of your path, you'll be amazed at your ability to rise above. See for yourself at First Horizon, the new face of First Tennessee, where understanding runs deep. Visit firsthorizon.com/leap.
I am the Lift Master.
Well, if you really want to be a hero, join DoorPro and LiftMaster to help the Lebanon Children's Hospital Radiothon. DoorPro is an authorized dealer of LiftMaster, and for every new garage door installed this month, DoorPro will donate $25 to the Lebanon Radiothon. Free in-home consultations. Just call 901-DOORPRO or visit DoorProInc.com. DoorPro
and LiftMaster.
Be a hero. Call 901-DOORPRO today.
Around here, everyone knows you need the right tool for the job. It's the difference between orders filled and orders missed, between return customers and product returns. That's why I order from Grainger. With over 250 local branches, will call product pickup, and a time-saving mobile app, it's easy to get it right. When it comes to getting what you need, when you need it, Grainger's got your back. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Excuse me, Captain. This is your wake-up call from the new TracFone Wireless.
What's that now?
What if you had to fly this plane while sitting back in the cabin?
I wouldn't have any control.
Well, that's what it's like going with some wireless companies. But TracFone Wireless gives you control. Get unlimited talk and text on America's best 4G LTE network starting at $20 a month, no contract. Plus, unlimited carryover data with active service.
That's cool, but how'd you get in my cockpit?
This is your wake-up call, people. The new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control. Available at major retailers. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit OrionFCU.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Looking Wingo, outside the lines, countdown to game day, ranking reaction. There's really nothing that you won't find Jason Fitz on if it's on ESPN or the Family Network. He joins us every Monday. He joins us now. Fitz, what up?
Man, I hear that song. It makes the hair stand up on my arms. I do love it. I'm ready to go. Let's go.
We did bite that one. We were hoping nobody would call us out on it, but yes, we did. We did bite that one off your show, Fitz. It's a great song.
It is. You know, it's one of my favorite bands in the world, Need to Breathe, and I have loved that song. And the song's called Money or Fame. And go back and listen to it. I'll challenge anybody to go back and listen to it lyrically. Like, it resonates with sort of the process of what you prioritize in life. So I always think back when that song starts to first and last, it always sort of gets me rolling a little bit because it hits me on a million different levels. Love that song.
No doubt. All right, so we have a lot to get to today, Fitz. But the story of the week, and I think certainly from a national perspective, was what happened in Atlanta with the Colin Kaepernick workout. Stephen A. Smith says, you know, he doesn't want to play. He wants to be a martyr. People on the other side say that, listen, the NFL, this was a sham from the beginning, that they didn't really put Colin Kaepernick in a position to succeed. What's the truth, Fitz?
I think everybody's right and everybody's a little wrong. You know, and when you look at it, the NFL didn't put him in a situation to be successful. They turned it into a circus show. And then he turned it into even a bigger circus show. But the thing that I keep wondering is why so many people don't understand the logic of Colin Kaepernick in this situation. Because, frankly, whether you agree or disagree with how we got here, we are here. And now you have to look at it from his standpoint and say, okay, I believe so little in this league that I sued this league for collusion. And they settled before they had to be deposed on it. So I sued this league for legally keeping me out. Illegally, keeping me out of the NFL. Now you're coming in and saying, all right, fine, we're going to run a workout, but we're not going to publicize any of it. We're going to send out all the information to the teams. We promise the teams are going to be there, and the very people you think colluded against you are now suddenly going to be open-minded. And that's hard for me to accept, even why we're accepting that logic, because at the end of the day, no matter how we got there, I can't ask someone. I mean, imagine if you got fired, you feel wrongly today from ESPN. And all of a sudden, after they spent 2-3 years arguing in court and trashing you every chance they could, if all of a sudden they said, fine, we'll let you have an audition, but nobody but us gets to hear it. We'll send it out to all the radio stations in the country. And then, sure, we'll be honest about how it went for the general public. I mean, there's such a lose-lose for Cap on that, because if he comes out, and even if he thinks he's phenomenal, why would he trust the league to control the narrative the proper way? So there's a lack of trust. Nobody met in the middle. There's a lot of blame to go both ways.
Yep.
But ultimately, I don't think anything got better in the situation.
Do you think when he kind of doubled down on the PR, because we thought PR stunt in terms of the NFL in the first place, when he sort of takes it to another level, right, and changes it up, do you think that he thinks it's done once he does that? You know what I'm saying? Because in that sense, nobody's talking about today his arm and how he looked. It's all about the distraction again, or sort of whose side are you on. Nobody's talking football. I just wondered if he knew when he made that move that it's probably all done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he torched it at
that
point.
It's over.
You're right. You know, I mean, at that point, I think he looked around and said, fine, I'm never going to get a fair shake, so I am going to go hellfire and brimstone on the way out the door. And that's an approach. But that's where he deserves some of the blame. I mean, I just threw the NFL under the bus for the way they put this together and for a lack of trust. Well, if you want to bridge that gap and heal that relationship, nothing he did in the way he handled it helped with that. So I don't – he's a step farther away from the NFL, like from getting back in the league today than he was, not based on how he performed.
Right.
But based on the performance after the performance, if that makes sense.
So does it?
Because the owners didn't want this in the first place.
But does that
the commissioner did?
Let me ask you this: does that not validate Cap in some way, though? Does that not prove in some way exactly what he's been sort of contending for the last 3 years? Is that I'm not in the league because I can't play. I'm in the league because of how I feel and what I say. Does that not validate him in some way?
To a certain extent, yes, but I'll say this, because you're not wrong about that, absolutely. But I'll be the cynic. Again, like I'm being cynical to both sides of this, but the cynic in me says, all right, once you know you're no longer going to control the narrative on whether or not you can play, you can make darn sure that you control the narrative on why you're not getting the chance to play, and that's what Cap's trying to do. So he comes in, and he becomes more of the martyr, which, in fact, saves the one thing left that he has in this, which is, it's far better for him never to have been allowed to be relevant than for any perception to come out that he can't play at a relevant level. So you're right. I think it gives more credence to his argument, but it also is the one part of the narrative he can control. So I'm as skeptical towards him there as I am towards the NFL and the way they handled it.
Well, on the other side of that, sort of, you know, we've heard the argument made before that Colin Kaepernick has more interest in being sort of a face and a martyr than he does being an NFL quarterback. And I'll give this point to the NFL. I mean, I know it's a complicated issue, but the shirt that he chose to wear to the workout. I mean, if you were serious about being back in the NFL, that's not exactly the olive branch that you would want to extend, is it?
No, you're right. And look, I mean, there was a right way, and I always say this: why is it so simple for most of us to see the right and the wrong way to handle public relations? And then when you're in the middle of the storm, you just lose all common sense. Like, all he had to do was come out and wear branded Nike stuff because that's who endorses him. He could wear his own Colin Kaepernick stuff if he wanted. Yep. That's who, you know, that's fine. Like, use it as a sales opportunity. Come out, perform your butt off, and afterwards say, hey, you know, obviously this has been – I mean, here's the simple answer from Colin Kaepernick after the workout. Obviously, this didn't go the way we hoped in the sense that we thought we'd get more partnership from the league. That being said, we wanted to make the best of whatever opportunity that we could get, because ultimately, I just want to play football, and I hope today answered a lot of those questions. Bam! I'm done. My PR coach, pay me. All right? You know, that's all he had to say. But when you come out and say, stop running, he became confrontational in what became confrontational in how he carried it. He became confrontational in what he said afterwards. So, again, maybe he's right. If the goal was to get back in the NFL, and I don't think he ever thought the NFL was going to give him a serious shot. Once he realized that that was what was happening, boy, he torched whatever was left of that.
Yeah, it does feel like it's torched at this point. Nick Saban, should he be facing more criticism today for having Tua in that game?
Oh, this is such a tough one, guys, because I'll be honest. I'll throw myself under the bus. My initial reaction when I saw it was, man, it is time to just destroy Saban.
Okay.
But I was flying. I was flying when I saw the report of the injury. Then I watched the play, and there's a moment where you watch the play and you say, man, some freakish plays just happen. And the problem is he has two bum ankles. You know, he's got an injury history, and now he has this freakish hip injury. So you're right. It's easy. If it had been a re-injury of the ankle, I think it would be fair to turn around and say, Saban, what are you doing? But when he's hurt on just a normal play that could happen at any time in the game, it's just – oh, it's heartbreaking. I don't know how we expect the total protection of a quarterback. I frankly wouldn't have played him in that game at all. But even if he hadn't played in that game, with what happened, it wasn't the piling on of an existing injury. It's an all new and freakish thing. So, unfortunately, that's just football being football. And man, you know, for Tua, it's heartbreaking because you're talking about somebody. It's a reminder of why you can't tank for one player in the NFL. Because my God, if you're the Dolphins right now, you've got a laundry list of injury issues to go look at before you know who you're going to pick first overall.
Well, that was going to be my follow-up. Is like, I mean, is this something that, you know, do you think really changes, you know, his draft stock? I mean, is this something that is viewed as debilitating? Like, how much do you think this hurts him?
Well, we'll need to see how he gets out of surgery to know the full answer to that. But, yeah, I think it does. I mean, at the very least, now you've got, like I said, the two ankles that have been hurt. and surgically repaired, and you have a surgically repaired hip. In an NFL where everybody is just a constantly, let's remember, Drew Brees would have been a Miami Dolphin if it wasn't for concerns about a surgically repaired shoulder, then it turned out to not be an issue in a Hall of Fame career for the Saints, right? So the NFL is so injury averse. How are they going to handle a kid that's got so many injuries coming up at this point that has looked great? But still, I mean, you've got to keep him on the field. And if he can't stay on the field against lesser opponents, what's he going to do in the NFL when bigger bodies are flying at him? I mean, I think that's a fair concern in the NFL. It would be a fair concern for me. And ultimately, this hip injury concern comes so late. By the time he's healthy, you're not going to get a great look at it before the draft. I think it does hurt his ability to be the first overall pick for sure.
What's going on with the Pats? And I don't know if you saw it, Fitz, but afterwards, Tom Brady really weird after a win and just seemed really down and talked about it, said it's connected to his team's offensive performance. They still get the win, but something feels off there. Do you think this is it for Brady in New England?
I don't know, but it seems like he doesn't like it. You know, and I know that's cliche and cheesy, but I watched that afterwards. And let's just be honest. What's going on with the Patriots right now is that their offense isn't good.
Stinks.
And it's not good enough. And Tom Brady has just – he's had a difficult year in Tom Brady's stat world. You know what I mean? And we've made a lot today about the fact that it's the third game this year without any touchdown pass. Isn't that significant? But even his QBR, his completion – I mean, he's dipped across the board. Now, he doesn't have a ton of weapons, but he doesn't – it doesn't look as good, and we all see that. So – and then he comes out with the body language, just makes it feel – tired. And if there's anything we know at this point, is that if you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL, you got to have joy for the game. Where's his joy? I don't see it. So, yeah, I am for the first time starting to wonder, man, maybe Brady just – if he doesn't love doing it, what's going to keep him around the game? I don't know the answer to that. So it could be the end.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. Fitz, obviously, we talked to you last week about Memphis and James Wiseman. Since we talked to you last, the attorneys have withdrawn the lawsuit, at least temporarily. It sort of feels like we are bound for a resolution between the NCAA and the University of Memphis. If this ends up being a fewer than 9-game suspension and it ends up being like 5 games, 6 games, and they have to repay the $11,500, will it be viewed as a win for the University of Memphis against the NCAA?
I think as long as the NCAA gets off their back, it's a win no matter what. It's a resolution no matter what. I think what's more daring is still, as we talked about last week, they made the flippant decision to play him,
right,
which was a bold way of saying up yours to the NCAA. We all know that. Now that they flinched first. And, you know, so we've got to see how the NCAA handles this, because the NCAA has already been cut off at the knees with this. Are they willing to just let it be as simple as a suspension and pay back the money, or are there further ramifications for the fact that they just flat out played him? And, you know, and that's they blatantly went at the NCAA, and I think they were right to do it. I said it at the time, but I was stunned that they walked it back so quickly. And so I think it's a win for the NCAA if they're able to get out from under it at this point. And that's a stunning difference from when we talked a week ago, when I thought they had all the power in this. I'm still shocked that they flinched so soon.
Hey, are you guys as Raiders going to make the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I think my gosh. My goodness.
It is unbelievable.
We live in a world where the Bears and the Eagles are going to miss the playoffs, and the Bills and the Raiders are going to make them.
Oh, my goodness.
That is true.
Oh, my goodness. You're right.
It's the softest, one of the softest schedules in the league going down the stretch. Yeah, Kansas City's still a better football team, and I think Kansas City's going to beat them in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. They'll get the West, but the AFC wild card spot is going to be there for the taking.
We can win every other game, Fitz.
It's
like
crazy.
The Raiders can win in a vacuum. The Raiders can win every other game on their schedule besides that Chiefs game.
Yeah, and that will put them at the end of all of it. It's easy to find a path that gets the Raiders to at least 10 wins.
Good grief!
They have to even if they lose to like the Titans or something, which they won't, they'll still be 10-6 most likely.
Right, and you know, it's not just the Raiders. Like, again, the Bills are 7-3, and they're not very good. So the Bills are going to go to the playoffs, and then next year when the Bills take a step back to sort of normalcy, everybody's going to say, well, how did this playoff team suddenly take a step back? And it's like, well, maybe they weren't a great team. They just you know, they just feasted on a terrible schedule, which is what the Raiders are going to be able to do the back half of the season.
But the Raiders, on that point, really quick though, Fitz, they had one of the hardest schedules in the first half of the league, and they came out you know, with their heads above water.
You're right, and that's the biggest takeaway for anybody that will continue for the rest of time to look at the Khalil Mack trade. But again, I said this morning, I'll go look at Wingo. Yesterday, you know, Max Crosby had 4 sacks. Cleveland Pearl is playing better. Josh Jacobs is absolutely a star. There's no question about it. Foster Moreau caught a touchdown pass. Hunter Renfrow was a big part of this game. I mentioned all of them because those are all rookies.
Absolutely.
So Mike Mayock deserves Executive of the Year consideration for the way they handled that draft. I mean, there's just no two ways about it.
Never thought we'd be talking like this.
Yeah, it'll be tough to beat out Ryan Pace, but maybe.
Oh, funny guy.
Maybe Mayock has a shot. Hey, Fitz, always enjoy it, man. Thank you.
And congrats on your Raiders success, sir. Thank you.
Y'all, thanks for the chat. Thank you. Y'all have a great week.
Yep. Yes, Jason.
Getting
Fitz.
Another one.
We were having a conversation, I don't know,
I'm
two
so
or
dumb
three
with
weeks
the
ago, and Jason was like, man, you know, we just need to try to tank. We just need to just maximize this draft pick. And then I, from the cubicle next to him, I said, yeah, y'all owe us another one. And it was stunned silence.
No, I don't know why, because I still know we're getting your second rounder.
They got one more first round pick from the Bears.
Oh, my Lord.
I don't know why I forgot that we hadn't given you the second first round
pick. Oh, my Lord.
Yep.
Because I knew that you guys were giving us a second rounder. The problem is you're good. So
exactly.
That second rounder that was going to look like
decreases in value.
Right. Mm-hmm. Going to look like a first rounder practically is now.
It's still stupid that
you're
going to
make the playoffs.
A second round pick. I mean, that's still stupid.
It was, but now it's going to be an end of the second round pick. It's going to be the pick of a 10-win team.
Yeah, I mean.
Because your schedule's so
soft.
I know
a lot of people out there, you know, are John Gruden haters, but there is no doubt about it that the guy is one of the best coaches in the league. I
just
mean,
to the
just
fact
is.
He's talking about that Crosby dude who was
absolutely.
Nobody, and he's getting
yeah.
forced. I was watching a little bit of it. He's getting. I know it's still the Bengals, but you got dudes playing above their heads. Like, you got to give them credit. That's coaching.
It
you know
is.
What I'm saying? I've never heard of this Crosby dude. He looks dominant out there.
They play the Jets next Sunday.
Your schedule helps. There's no question. Yeah. But, again, you're going to get a last-place schedule when you're coming from where y'all were from.
We got the Chiefs after that, then the Titans in at home.
The Chiefs
Jags
have zero defense, so it's not like you won't have
a fighting chance in that game.
I don't expect you to win it.
Right.
And in that wide-open AFC, there's none that says you can't have the second wild card.
I think that's what we're going for.
And folks going to stop hating on Lamar Jackson and this Baltimore team.
Yep, I think that's what we're going for because the Steelers are done. They lost everybody in that game against the Browns. I mean, James Conner was out. Juju was out.
How have we not talked about what that man did?
Oh, my.
What that man Garrett did.
Oh, my. Yep, that was something. That was true.
I've never seen anything like it.
That was bizarre. That was absolutely bizarre.
He wouldn't slap a civilian that came up and, well, slapped him, remember?
Yeah. You're exactly right. No, he wouldn't punch the guy.
We talked about that story in the rundown.
He got punched in the face by a civilian.
What kind of man doesn't hit back after he's been punched in the face inside his car?
But Mason Rudolph tries to take off his helmet, and he tries to kill him. I mean, it is unbelievable.
He took off Mason Rudolph's helmet and tried to kill him with it.
He tried to kill him, a man with his own helmet.
And he hit that fool.
Bro, and people were trying to defend him on Friday. People were trying to defend what Myles Garrett did. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, they were.
I couldn't believe it.
Wait a minute. I don't understand what part is defensible.
Well, because a lot of people.
They said Mason Rudolph started it.
Well, and he tries to. I'm not saying I believe this. Before in the video, he tries to take off the opposite helmet of Garrett. He's trying to take Garrett's helmet off. It's not defensible. I'm with you, by the way.
Bro, you cannot hit a guy without a helmet.
It's ridiculous.
In the head with his helmet.
No, it's ridiculous.
You cannot do that.
Forget the NFL rules. That's like breaking the law. That's
criminal.
Like,
it's assault.
It's
with
criminal.
A deadly weapon.
It just is. I've never seen anything. That's why, you know, Pouncey's over there. They're trying to kill him because you
bananas.
Never see anything like this. You're going to try to kill a man with his helmet.
In the fraternity, right? Like in the NFL fraternity, like, come on, dude. Like, now it's stupid to try to punch somebody with a helmet on, but it's even worse to try to hit somebody who doesn't have a helmet with their helmet. I mean, he could have done serious damage to him. Like, he could have really hurt him. You know what I mean?
No question.
Could have killed him.
I've never seen anything like it. It was crazy. We were all trying to figure it out.
I mean, my biggest issue with it was I saw a lot mostly on Facebook. But, like, people were trying to, like, defend Myles Garrett that, oh, you don't – it's the heat of battle. You don't try to take another man's – and there
There's
was
a reason we haven't seen this kind of thing.
Right.
Because there is no kind of heat that you should be that hot when you're swinging that thing. That thing's a weapon.
Yeah, it's like when Albert Haynesworth stepped on that dude's head, remember?
Yes.
Like, well, he didn't have
a
helmet
Redskin?
On. He was a cowboy.
He was a That was a Cowboy.
Yeah, he was a Cowboy. He was the Titans Cowboys. And Albert Haynes were just steps on dude's
head.
Oh,
I remember it.
You know, you can't do that. You know? Yeah, it's just you're right. It's a crime. You know, and it won't be like obviously Mason Rudolph isn't gonna pursue charges.
He said he's not pressing charges,
but which makes sense. Like you're not gonna do that, but like still, I mean that's something like.
Miles Garrett one of like the biggest dudes in the league. You understand what I'm saying too?
Bro,
one of the strongest dudes in the league.
If
like,
we walk out,
wouldn't need a weapon to crush
the studio.
That dude.
And I go to my car and I happen to have an Oakland Raiders replica helmet in there, and I take it out and I hit you across the head with it. I'm going to jail. Like I'm going to jail for assault. You know?
You're damn right. Are you serious?
I'm going to say, thanks for the pick. Playoffs. Bam.
How hard is that dude's head, though? Because he took a full blow to the head.
Well, Miles kind of missed. Miles didn't get the full.
Got a little soft blow.
Yeah, he didn't get the full
hit him
impact.
Enough. It looked like to me, you look at it in slow-mo, that whole face shakes.
I think there was it could have been 100 times
It could have been
worse.
If he hadn't been anybody but in between him.
That's what I'm saying. Like because there were people in between him, like he didn't get the full, you know what I'm
glancing
saying, impact.
Glancing blow.
Yeah, it was a graze. You know what I'm saying?
I told somebody, Pouncey came in there like WWE style. Did you see how he was flailing the legs while he was
ready
hitting it? One, two, three. Like, he was almost overdoing it in a sense.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, Miles Garrett is suspended for the rest of the season, and who knows how much longer, probably just the rest of the game.
That was crazy.
But it was a hell of a sight.
Yeah.
And they were winning the game. That's the thing. It's like the Browns were winning. Why are you angry? What are you upset about? Let him try to take your helmet off.
Like, dude, it isn't worth it, bro.
Yeah, dude, it's the like, backup quarterback
killing
for the Steelers.
Dude isn't worth it, yes.
You know?
Exactly.
Like, come on, man. I don't know. Like, if I'm the Browns, I'm just like, dude, get your life together. Like, you were winning the game. You were sacking the quarterback, and then you want to hit him in the head with a helmet.
We were just saying, what a peaceful man he was.
Yeah.
Saying, that's a real good NFL player. Gets slapped in the face
like
and not
Gandhi.
Doing anything.
Yeah.
The guy's a pretty good dude.
Miles Gandhi.
Browns have a crap schedule the rest of the way. I mean, they're really bad.
Well, that's why people were predicting the turnaround for them is because that schedule's so bad.
It's bad now.
Yeah,
we'll see if that. I still think it's the Raiders' spot to lose at this point.
By the way, the Browns and the Steelers play again on December the 1st, so that should be a very interesting game, no doubt. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come. Kendrick Perkins is going to join us. Big Perk. He'll be on the show at 1:25. You don't want to miss it. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Golic and Wingo.
Coming up Tuesday, we head south of the border to recap the Chiefs Chargers in Mexico City and Week 11 superlatives. Plus, you, a friend, New Orleans, for the College Football Playoff National Championship game? Yeah! Your chance to win Tuesday on Golic and Wingo.
The Golic and Wingo Morning Show. Weekdays 5 a.m. till 9 a.m. The 6 with Jeff Calkins, Jason and John, Mark Giannato, and Jeffrey Wright, along with Gary Parrish. Weekdays from 6 p.m. till 7 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
You always test the water, don't you? Whenever you get into the shower or the bathtub, you always make sure the water is not too hot so you don't get burnt. And the same thing is true if you're thinking of selling your home. This is Sheldon Rosengarten with Mark's Bensdorf Realtors, celebrating 150 years in business. Back to the hot water. When you or someone you know is thinking of selling, make sure and test the water. Talk to 2 to 3 real estate brokers to find out not only what they think about your house and the price, but what they will do for you. And make sure that I am one of them. I have an award-winning, highly successful strategic marketing program with a Shell Bucks option that can mean the difference in whether you sit or sell. You can reach me at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Find out why people often say that when you want the job done, call Shell Done. Between the internet marketing, our nationwide relocation business, and the Shell Bucks, you definitely need to call me at Sheldon Rosengarten at 682-1868 or memphisrelocate.com. Do it now and don't get burnt.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering. Terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today, TheBluffMemphis.com.
As someone who's been through a divorce, I know how emotional the process can be, and I know some lawyers just want a more expensive fight. So let me tell you about Justin Thomas and the lawyers of Thomas White and Gill. It's not one of those big national firms. Justin is a former first baseman for the U of M who won't back down, but understands that slash and burn lawyering isn't always the best way to produce the result or the bill that anyone wants. Thomas White and Gill has male and female partners and a range of billing rates. It is experts in divorce, custody, adoption, and wills and estates. To contact Justin or to see what the firm has to offer. Go to memphisfamilylaw.com.
You wouldn't use an 18-wheeler to teach your son how to drive. It's too big. And you wouldn't take a family road trip in his toy car. It's too small. But using the Mercedes-Benz Metris cargo van to run your business? Just right. Only the Metris can haul, stow, and tow more than any other van in its class. It has the maneuverability to get through the toughest jobs and fits in your garage, too. And now with 0% financing, it's built around your budget. Because if you can't picture your son behind the wheel of a monster truck or squeezing your family inside a 2-seat convertible, we don't blame you. The only thing you need to picture is where the Metris can take your business. The Mercedes-Benz Metris. With 0% financing and starting at $26,570, it's just right. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Metris Vans. Qualified commercial customers only. Offer valid through January 2nd, 2020.
This is happening. Our busy company's buzzing like the hornet's nest in the tree outside. Then Tina walks in.
We've got a projections problem, Brian. Management's given us crazy numbers to hit and not enough crew to handle it.
I spring into action like a human hornet and jump on Upwork. I book a team of remote freelance pros, each ready to start immediately. And those projections, with Upwork, this is happening. Hey, Tina, want to get lunch?
Thanks, but there's hornets outside.
Upwork. Hire freelancers. Make things happen.
Jason and John Guest appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show. Presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Heard about my man Dr. Keith over at Carville Weight Loss. I know a few people who have gone over there. He is batting 1,000. Why? Because it's an easy deal over at Carville Weight Loss. There are no pills. There's no great big workout program. Dr. Keith is going to let you do whatever you want for your exercise. He also has a brand new body contouring laser light program that he uses with his weight loss program. And the best part about it, no downtime, no pain, and you're going to see results fast. You're going to reduce those inches fast. Dr. Key's going to work with you. Everybody is different. He's going to customize your program. That's always the goal out at Carnival Weight Loss. So if you want a no-charge evaluation right now is the time to get it. No crazy diet, no surgery, no pills, no exercise. Call today, 901-221-8964. Mention my name, John Martin. You will get a discount on the program. Again, the number, 901-221-8964, or check him out on the web, CarnivaleWeightLoss.com. So I was driving around Thursday night, and somebody sent me a link to a Knoxville radio station, like a Fox Sports Knoxville radio station, and they're like, "You got to listen to this. You got to check this out. This guy is so angry." And to be honest, I was like, "Okay, I would just love to hear like what they're saying on the other end of the state about this. Like, what are they saying about James Wiseman?"
Some hate.
Yeah, and so I'm driving around, and I put it on, and It really sounds like a petulant child is what it sounded like. To be honest, and I wish we had the audio, like, because it's on iTunes. And I don't know if we have the that link exactly, but he's basically the host, and I think his name is Trey. Forgive me, but he's saying Penny Hardaway cheated, right? He cheated, didn't he? Oh, they have a guest on, and he keeps asking this guest like, but Penny cheated, right? But Penny cheated to get him to Memphis, which, no, he didn't. And then he said, Penny cheated to get him on his AAU team. No, he didn't. You know, like, none of that happened. Penny didn't cheat to get James Wiseman on his AAU team. That was never, ever contended by anybody.
Well, you can vouch for that. Okay.
I mean, was it?
I mean, that's what the TSSAA.
They said he cheated to get him on his high school team. Yeah. Not his AAU team.
Oh, I see your difference there.
Yeah, his high school team, not his AAU team.
Yeah, well, there is no – oh, my apologies. I took that as high school. There is no – in the AAU world, you can change whatever you want to do.
Yeah, so, like, that's what they were saying. They were like, Penny Hardaway cheated to get him on his AAU team. Penny Hardaway cheated to get him to Memphis. None of those – neither of those things is true.
Did they say the high school one and you just let that one go?
No, they did not. I mean, I I'll find this audio, but it was it is amazing. Like, and I think that's a sort of impediment for the rest of this country as it relates to this case, is that people don't really understand it. People don't really even know what the issue is. Like, what's at the heart of the issue? People don't
get it. People don't understand what James is ineligible at all.
They just see the 11-5 and they know it went from Penny to the Wiseman family, and they think violation. Again, that money wasn't provided to steer Penny Hardaway to the Memphis Tigers.
Right.
That's what this all boils down to. And I think the reason you're going to see, I mean, it's one of the big reasons there's going to be a settlement here. Let's be for real, because if you didn't, we know they would have stuck Memphis, right? If this was any indicator where it was Penny as a booster steering him to Memphis, NCAA going to get you on that. It's only because in the it's the rule and how it's applied. Yes, a rule was broken, but again, this rule wasn't a booster steering him to Memphis.
Correct.
Again, and that's the bottom line, and why we all said, some of us did, that eventually this thing will get settled out, because you've got that part of it on your side. That, again, this is meant for boosters and current coaches, not to pay money to steer a kid to their school,
yep.
Period. That wasn't what this 11-5 was intended for.
Correct.
So, again, spirit of the rule, you've got to look at that, and that's the reason you're at one of these. That's part of the reason you're going to be at this settlement thing.
Exactly.
Hopefully for you, hopefully for Memphis, for James Wiseman, because you don't want to see him sitting, that it's nothing more than, you know, 5-6 games or whatever it's going to be.
Right. I mean, that was the word as a...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.